Welcome back to the Fightcasters, the Las Vegas Sun's online podcast about what else? Fighting. Andy Samuelson, Las Vegas Sun MMA boxing reporter, joined by my fellow colleague, Brett Okamoto. How are you doing today, Brett?
Doing good, man. You have a good weekend?
Yeah, good weekend.
All right. Well, what's on the docket for today?
Well, little news came out on Friday, the rescheduling of Floyd Mayweather's fight. Not July 18th, but September 19th. Pretty big weekend. It's a Mexican Independence Day weekend. Should be a good one for that fight. Obviously, Juan Manuel Marquez, a highly respected Mexican fighter. So probably won't hurt that it got moved to that weekend at all.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Some blogospheres around there thinking maybe it wasn't Mayweather's ribs that was hurting. Maybe it was his poor ticket sales that were hurting more. What do you think about that?
There you go. I don't think it hurts the fight at all. In fact, I mean, that weekend, it'll be a lot, the tickets will be a lot higher sold, and I think it makes more sense. It is, conspiracy theorist all around, but I don't know.
This is one thing about boxing where, these fights don't have to happen at all. It's one of those situations where the fighters decide who they want to fight, when they want to fight, and, there's a lot of contract negotiations in between, so... you really can't get caught. Try to not to get caught up too much into it and just enjoy the fight. Pretty weird, circumstances surrounding this one. But should still be a good fight. What really is interesting to talk about is how will this affect Floyd Mayweather when he wants to talk to Manny Pacquiao? Floyd's always been the big money draw. He's always gotten the big percentages when you want to talk about fighters. And all of a sudden he leaves and Manny Pacquiao has emerged into a bigger star. You can kind of argue that Manny is, as far as the boxing world, has emerged into a bigger star. He's got the big Filipino base. He's got a huge American fan base now after what he's done. So those talks start going, and Floyd may be a little mad that he's not getting the more money. But, when you're the current pound for pound, you might take a little bit more money than the former pound for pound. So,
yeah, that will be very interesting. I have a feeling that that fight probably won't happen unless it's about 50-50.
Yeah, Floyd doesn't like to fight unless he's making more than the other guy. But I think what he really needs to do is he needs to go out and knock Marquez out, because then you can come back and say, hey, I knocked him out in spectacular fashion. I have been the big guy. Yeah, I don't care what happened in my absence. I'm still the guy to watch. And, that would give him a little bit of pull. But if I know Bob Arum, I don't think he's going to just give away a Pacquiao fight and give those odds to Mayweather. But we'll see. I at the end of the day, I hope it doesn't prevent that fight from happening, because I know it's one that everybody wants to see, including me. So,
and then HBO announced today, 24/7 would move to August 29th. Will be the first episode for Mayweather and Marquez. And not quite as many storylines as Hatton Pacquiao, obviously, but a couple good ones with Mayweather and his Uncle Roger. I'm sure that'll be more than entertaining enough to make up for any lack of draw there.
Yeah, 24/7. It's won seven sports Emmys, and it's going to be a 4-episode series. I'm interested to ask you, what do you think? Do you care or do you not care? What do you think about this announcement?
I definitely care. I mean, it's always fun for a mega fight to have that great series leading up. Just the shots of them training, the aerial views are just amazing. So, I mean, it's cool. And having been on the set on a couple of days when they're actually filming, you really do get a good view of how life and training is really going on.
Well, maybe we'll see with the episode where Floyd injured his rib, and there you go, visual evidence that it wasn't a hoax. We'll see.
Definitely, definitely. Some other news, we talked to a Las Vegas native and resident, Frank Mir, on Friday night. He's a pumped up about his big fight. He also had a new shiner, courtesy of Forrest Griffin, a big black eye on the right side, and also a new baby boy was in the, was there with him working out. So it was a pretty good night for Mir.
Yeah, pretty good, pretty cool talking to Mir. And you wonder how often this happens. It's like, man, I want an opportunity to go watch Forrest Griffin and Frank Mir just go screw around in the octagon in one of their training episodes. And we were actually talking to some of the people who had watched them wrestle around with each other. And they said that they weren't taking it easy on each other. And that's how Frank got the black eye. I think it was a headbutt is what he said. And it just, knocked him in the wrong spot, and his eyes all black, and there was blood in it even. It was kind of gross, but, you know, it didn't seem like it was hurting Frank. He looked ready. What did you think?
And that's definitely Griffin's MO. Anytime you train with him, you're going to go complete war. And, you know, Frank said something to that effect. So let's take a listen to what he had to say about his training.
I think Brock knows enough that he's already worried. If I say too much more, I might not be able to get him into the cage. So you might as well try to, like, boost up his confidence so he shows up on the 11th and I can get paid. I have a 90-second win over him. I mean, that kind of helps boost my confidence. I also realize the fighter I am now compared to the fighter I was then has increased, you know, leaps and bounds, you know. Obviously, you know, Ken Han I've been with for 3 years. I didn't even have Robert Drysdale the first time I fought Brock. I was training myself in jiu-jitsu, you know, so if that shows where my level of jiu-jitsu was there. And then now training the last couple months with Jimmy Gifford, my hands now compared to what they were even in the Nogueira fight, I wouldn't last. If I fought myself now, if I fought Nogueira, I'd knock myself out in about 3 or 4 minutes easily.
All right, well, that was Frank Mir talking about his title fight against Brock Lesnar, and definitely no love lost here. These two guys have definitely kind of put their words out there. I don't know how I think this fight will go. If you look at Lesnar's last fight, you know, he really took a tour. He got cut there, and it definitely affected him. You know, Mir talked about how he saw a look of panic that he's had himself, but he kind of weathered through that, and then, you know, you tagged Couture right behind the ear there, and that was it for the UFC legend. I kind of have a feeling that, you know, Mir is the underdog, but I have a feeling that just his complete, you know, total game might factor in a little more than just the raw strength. Lesnar's still relatively new to the sport, and if he gets caught in a situation like he did the first time at UFC 81, I think you'll see similar results. And don't look past Mir's total annihilation of Nogueira at UFC 92. I mean, that a lot of people didn't see that coming at all.
Well, as far as Lesnar is concerned, there's basically two thoughts floating around, two storylines. One of them is he's gotten lucky. He's ridden his extreme marketability to the top. He was only, what was his record when he got his first title shot? I mean, it wasn't the kind of record that you usually see. I think he was only 2-1. Mir was the guy who had beat him, so.
Oh, you're talking Lesnar. Yeah, 2-1. This is fifth fight.
2-1 when he got the title shot. So, you know, and obviously, you know, you hear Mir saying that, you know, and it's like, this guy deserved a title shot. I mean, but then there's another storyline on Lesnar, and that is that he has improved dramatically, that he's respected the mixed martial arts, that he's working to improve himself. And he's got some great training partners as well. He's training over there with Sean Sherk, you know, and Sean Sherk's a former lightweight champion, obviously one of the best guys in the game during his prime. And so I'm sure Lesnar has improved. The question is, has he improved enough, you know, to avoid a submission clinch like what happened in their first meeting? So it should be a good one. Like you said, these two guys don't really like each other. I think that they probably respect each other. I mean, how could you not? But I think they both feel that they're, you know, clearly and obviously the better fighter. And I guess the only way to figure that out is when you step in the octagon against each other. So.
And let's not forget, you know, Lesnar does have the you know, tremendous collegiate wrestling experience. He was a 2000 heavyweight champ, and that could factor into it. I don't know. I mean, you're talking, Mir was a Bonanza High graduate, a little bit in their wrestling program for those around the area. But yeah, I definitely think it'll be a good one. Could be the fight of the night. I don't know. That could be St. Pierre, Alves, or Henderson and Bisping. I mean, just a great night of fights. We're, what, less than 2 weeks away, 12 days, something like that. Should be exciting. And another former WWE star, Bobby Lashley, he got a big win over the weekend. Well, I don't know. He got a win over a big guy, Bob Sapp, who's kind of probably past his prime. He improves to 4-0, and it'll just be interesting to see if Lashley can kind of ride the same entrance into the UFC that Lesnar did. He's also a former collegiate wrestler, not quite as experienced or decorated as Lesnar, but you know, one or two more fights and the ability to sell tickets is going to probably push him over that edge. Also, some other UFC news today. UFC expanded its global empire to China. Talk about that a little bit, Brett.
Yeah, you know, the press release came out this morning. Just another step, you know, talking to all these fighters in preparations to UFC 100. We're talking to them about what's the next step. And, you know, a lot of them say that this global expansion is the next step. You know, there's a lot of pools out there of, you know, that they can tap into still and still, you know, drive this sport to, a global spotlight. So the new deal announced today, UFC programs first ever airing in the country of China, which is surprising because, you know, you would think this stuff would be really popular in China and, you know, maybe this is the first step towards that. But
yeah, they've had a couple roadblocks in Japan and China, but I mean, just think of the huge population right there. And obviously, many of the forms of mixed martial arts started in these regions. So just a huge boon for the UFC. And it's going to be interesting. I'm telling you, in a couple years, it's going to be everywhere.
Yep. Currently, UFC is shown on over 100 countries and in 17 different languages. So, you know, that alone is just building up the hype for it. And then, you know, if they can get these things like they did in Germany this month, actually, where, you know, they can actually take the event there. And, you know, if it's a good card and people come and see it as a sport, and, you know, it can only get bigger. So I think we're at a pretty exciting time for the UFC in general, just, you know, going forward.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I think that's going to be it for an abbreviated edition. Luckily, we had some Mayweather news come in there, and we'll hit you up next week with all our predictions for UFC 100 and just give you the full rundown for the historic event at Mandalay Bay, July 11th. That's going to do it for the Fightcasters. I'm Andy Samuelson and Brett Okamoto. Thanks for your time.